This is all from your website. Then.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we're coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. And this show is for you if you're considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions and are at different stages of their careers. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business questions. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top that says Channel 1 and scroll down and look for our graphic, Question Reality, and click it. And this takes you directly to our archive page, and that's where you can view the list of the past guests. All of our radio shows on LA Talk Radio are available for download on iTunes, and they are free. You don't get much in life that's free, but our shows are free. So go to iTunes and under the podcast section, and we're also on Stitcher.com. Just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and go to the LA Talk Radio homepage, and you can download our free apps for the Android and iPhone. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest, or if you work professionally in the entertainment industry and want to come on our show to share your sage wisdom and advice about your projects, to promote your projects, we are just starting to book for 2015. Actually, I apologize. My assistant updated me. We're booked until March, the beginning of March of 2015. You know our show's popular, honey. You know we're booked 6 months to a year in advance. We're rocking it over here. So if you are available anytime in March or after, go to my website and click contact and let us know all your stats, and then we will get back to you and hopefully book you. And that's the official Question Reality website, and that's questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. Oh, God, I'm so excited today. You don't even know who you are about to hear on this radio show. She is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Her eyes are like popping. They're like stars in a lunar atmosphere, and all the world waits for twilight. And she is one of the hottest actresses, I think, on the circuit. And we are going to give you, we are coming back with the applause button because she deserves the applause button. Welcome to the show, Eileen Grubba! There we go again! Okay, woo! We came back for a second revival there. I get your emails. Half of you love my applause button. The other half are like, no, you did not. Yes, I did. Love it. We'll be continuing the applause button. Let me just tell you a little bit about Eileen Grubba. I want you to go to her website right now while we are going through this. Her website is EileenGrubba.com. Grubba. Oh, Jesus, God. I am so sorry. Okay. So Eileen Grubba, EileenGrubba.com. And she's
BBA.
Oh my God. What? I left an A off of here. Well, you can see I'm racking up the points here with Eileen. She's like, oh yeah, I had a great time on that show. She's all together. She's also on Twitter.com. She's on Facebook.com. And I also want you to check out this website she's very, very passionate about. And when I went there, I just went crazy over this website. It's called modelsofdiversity.org. Modelsofdiversity.org. And Eileen is an actress, a writer, and a producer. And she's appeared in a ton of independent films and television series, such as one of my favorites, Bones. Obsessed with that show. Sons of Anarchy, CSI Miami, The Mentalist, Cold Case, Nip Tuck, which I still have yet to see an episode of. The Closer, ER, Monk, one of my favorite shows. The Young and the Restless. And the list goes on. We could be here all day long reading this woman's credits. We're going to stop there. Eileen is a lifetime member of the world-renowned Actor Studio and trains with famed acting coach Alan Miller, who has also coached Barbara Streisand, Dustin Hoffman, Meryl Streep, Sigourney Weaver, Peter Boyle, Rue McClanahan, and again, the list goes on and on. And we are going to be chatting with Eileen about her wonderful career as a professional actress, in which she's going to provide you with all the tips, advice, and resource information that we can pull out of her today. And we're also going to find out about her work as a passionate, empowered patient advocate. We're going to find out about that because that's something I'm very interested in, and a lot of people don't know what that is. So we are definitely going to find out about that for sure. Now, Eileen has so many fascinating things about her life. I have like 5 pages just of her bio, for God's sake. She is incredible. So we're going to try to get as much in as we can. But without further ado, let's welcome Eileen Grubba! Oh, not again. We did it again. I did not authorize that one. That one is not authorized, for God's sake. But, you know, hey, it added to it. Welcome, Eileen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so honored by your presence here. Eileen was attacked by me recently at a film screening because I saw her standing there and I thought, my God, I have seen her so many times. And I thought, is it appropriate for me to go up and ask her if she'll be a guest? But she was so nice and kind and generous with her time, and she agreed to come on the show and give you people advice. Eileen, we met on your recent project, which was Our Father, written and directed by the lovely Linda Palmer. Thank you. From now on, you're going to pronounce all the last names. I just give up on the last names. And you played Kate. Mm-hmm. Fantastic job. It's actually in the film festival circuit now. You can check that website out, ourfatherproductions.com, I believe it is, or just type in Our Father. And it stars the lovely Michael Gross. Remember him? Oh, my God, that sexy man from Family Ties. And it's a fantastic project. Linda did a great job. And you've got to see Eileen in it. You got to take a little Kleenex with you.
Thank you.
Take a little Kleenex with you. Now, you are a lifetime member of the world-renowned Actors Studio. Mm-hmm. Tell us, not everybody can get into the world-renowned Actors Studio. How'd you do it? What's it like for people who just dream about that?
Well, you know, I was one of those people who just dreamed about it. And I started my acting career in Atlanta and soon after outgrew Atlanta and moved to New York. And I remember just walking by and looking at it and going, wow, I want to be in the Actors Studio. And I remember the funniest thing. I met a girl within my first week of coming to New York, and I won't say what famous school she went to, but she was sure that if she and her very prestigious friends couldn't get into the Actors Studio, that it was never going to happen to me. She literally said, you're never going to get into the Actors Studio.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I just said, well, we'll see.
wow. Well, she's a positive person.
Yeah, I always remember that because I just remember looking at her like, what do you mean never? Yeah. I don't like that word. Nobody tells me that word.
Well, no. Well, look at
never
Harrison,
say never.
Yeah, exactly. Harrison Ford. They told his boss told him he would not, or the agents he went to said he would never be an actor. They're like, you're terrible. Yeah. Keep painting, and look what happened to him. You can't be listening to people.
You can't be listening to people. That's true. Not if they've
got
to listen to the ones
negative.
That give you power right. and give you strength and give you courage. And so I didn't listen to her. And I auditioned here with a piece that was really, really, really close to home for me. And it just was a winner.
Wow!
And so that was my first. And, I'm trying to remember what I did with my final. Oh, I remember. And I took on some really challenging roles to get in there, and it's just been a gift.
So you have to be nominated to get in there?
No, what you have
to
do is you go through their audition process. You have preliminaries, and then if you pass the preliminary, you go to either a callback or a final. And if they see potential, they'll bring you back. But sometimes people fight for years. So one of my closest scene partners, stage partners over there that I work with a lot, it took him, I think, 20 years to get in. You just never know.
They're just not going to let up an actor. I mean, I think that you have to have some credentials also, because they're not going to – there are few people that are natural actors, and – even though you're a natural actor, I don't think they would just let you in. You do have to have some
talent and skills, and they are tough on letting people in, and that's a good thing, because it also tests your commitment.
And
it's really helpful to be able to go there and play with some fantastic actors whenever you want to, and be coached by these amazing people that run that studio.
And when you're in the actor studio, who would be some of your scene partners that maybe our audience would know? I know there's been some goodies.
I just worked with Carmen Argenziano again. He
loves you. He's always saying great things about you. I was reading your website, and he just said amazing things.
He is wonderful to work with, and he's got just an amazing career, an incredible resume, and we challenge each other, so we work together a lot on the stage and on screen. And I like to work with people who challenge me. And like I said, Alan Miller I work with a lot, and Martin Landau, and I've been close. He's given me some incredible advice. And Barbara Bain I'm very close with, and just love her and appreciate all her wisdom and advice through the years. And Lou Antonio, who's a super accomplished director who works with us there.
What's the difference between Alan Miller, as a, I'm sure you've had many acting coaches, what's the difference between, say, being coached by Alan Miller, who's direct, Barbara Streisand and Meryl Streep, et cetera, and, say, ABC acting studio down the street?
The difference is phenomenal, because believe me, I've been around in this town. And the difference is he sees right through you. Mm. You can walk in a room and he knows what's going on with you, like pegs you in a second. Wow. And he's always encouraging you to use whatever's going on in your world in your work. And he reads people like a book, so you can't hide.
Right.
And I think the thing that sets actors back the most in their careers is a lot of them are hiding a lot. Fear, ego, afraid to go to the dark places. Actors have a lot of little skill sets they use to hide what's really going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make you shine. That doesn't light up your work. And the things that most people are afraid of, that's where Alan Miller makes you go.
Woo,
and I don't mind going, so we love working together.
Obviously not. Now, what I was interested in reading your website, your bio, you are an award-winning artist since childhood, and you attended college on an art scholarship.
Yes.
But what really got me was that apparently you have painted original murals in the homes of celebrities, and one mural, who I'm going to beg you to tell me, for you did a baby room mm-hmm. of a rock star, mm-hmm. and it ended up in a popular entertainment magazine. Yes. So who was it? Can we hear it, please?
Sheryl Crow.
Oh, wow.
It was Sheryl
Crow's
baby room.
What was the mural? What was it?
She wanted animals, friendly, you know, animals, like a jungle across the whole, and it's a massive wall, twice the size of this one. And in addition, the trees and the things that the animals are in. And so it's got birds and monkeys and all kinds of wonderful things. And then, like, letters in bamboo, the alphabet across the whole
thing. Wow. Are you watercolor? Are you
I did this one in acrylic.
Acrylic.
I mean, I've used every medium. I've been an artist since I was five.
Wow. So it wasn't just a picture of a son and a house and a mother and a father. It was like a Van Gogh.
My favorite part was the monkey. I love the monkey.
I love monkeys. Yeah. They're cute. Now, many of your passion projects, fun cancer research and treatments, and you're a passionate, empowered patient advocate. Can you shed a little? A lot of people are like, what's a patient advocate? You know, tell us about that.
Okay, so if that's a long story to tell you where it starts, I guess I have to tell you where it starts. Mm. When I was 4 years old, I ended up paralyzed from the waist down. Mm. And at first, they thought it was polio. Actually, I spent most of my life diagnosed with polio until very recently at UCLA neurology. They've decided that it wasn't polio. Wow. And they're still trying to determine what it was. All I know is that I was 4 years old and running through a park with my siblings and doing flips and goofing off. And after one of the flips, I landed and I couldn't feel my legs. And that started the beginning of an adventure that hasn't ended. Right. I was in a wheelchair for years. They didn't think I'd ever walk again. I, as a child, figured out how to heal my own spinal cord injury.
What?
I'm not kidding. I figured out that many years ago as a child, and they're doing it now these days, finally, with spinal cord injury patients at, like, UCLA Spine Center. It's something I figured out as a small child.
Now, see that? You could have patented that and been a multi-billionaire
now. No kidding. I used to slide off my bed and, you know, put my legs on the ground because I couldn't understand why I couldn't walk anymore.
Right.
It just didn't make any sense to me. I was too young, and all I knew is that it was upsetting everyone around me, you know, my family, my mom, everything. And so I just kept trying to stand, and that putting the weight, I kept sliding off the bed and holding onto the bed and putting that weight onto my legs and onto my body. I fell all the time, but eventually I got to where I could stand again, like a toddler, you know, when you're first learning to walk, holding on. But then I got to a walker, and then I slowly got to where I could walk without a walker, and then I walked with one leg and dragged the other, and then eventually, you know, did cheerleading and everything I ever wanted to do, and then started to have surgeries to rebuild, like, the things I beat up, because I grew a lot in the years I was in the wheelchair, so that's, you know, so things weren't strong enough to keep up with me.
Right. So that's what gave you the sensitivity, the desire, the passion
to
become.
That was the beginning of it.
And how do you incorporate?
Well, then later my mother died young from cancer, and my dad was diagnosed with cancer right after. And then literally 6 years after he died, I was diagnosed with cancer. Mm. And so, but it wasn't my first battle.
Wow.
So I went at cancer like a warrior going into battle. I was like, this is not happening. And I literally went to war. And in that time, I just found out that a lot of people who were observing the way I function in a crisis like that were inspired by that. And other patients, it helped them figure out how to rise up and fight. And so since then, my doctors said I was the first cancer patient they had who woke up and smiled at them, and
that's a first.
I was like, I was just happy I was alive.
Right.
And since then, a few had asked, would I be willing to help patients? And I said, you know what, I'm going to help them on such a massive scale, because I'm going to put this information out there to people in the things I do, in the things I write. And, you know, we have a medical series we've been developing with some of the doctors I work with out there who have this phenomenal creation in medicine that is like our future of medicine. And so we developed an idea for a TV series called Plato's Cave. And, you know, when they first brought me into Houston to talk about, let's do this project, I was like, okay, let's do this. And, but can we make sure that a portion, a small, whatever, 5%, some portion goes back to funding treatments for patients who don't have access to the help they need?
Right.
Because we have a segment of our population that slips through the cracks.
Yeah.
And they're not covered. They're not covered on either end, and it wipes out their families. And I hate that, because there were years in there that I didn't make my health insurance in a time when there was no way anyone was going to insure me if I didn't make my SAG insurance because of all my pre-existing
conditions.
Love.
Right.
And so, I mean, I had years that I missed health insurance, and that just wiped me out.
Yeah.
And I hate that, because you can't get help from anywhere if you're like middle America. You can't.
Right.
No, everybody tells you you slip through the cracks. And that, to me, is a painful reality, because I've seen too many, the kind of people who wouldn't ask for help.
Right.
The kind of people who would go down before they'd ask for help. The kind of people who, you know, their father will work three jobs for that kid that's in the hospital
right.
that they can't help, and financially. And, you know, so those are the people that I want to help, the ones that can't get help and don't ask for it, you know?
Are you currently chairing any organizations or actively?
Oh, yeah, I'm always active. I just, I'm not chairing any right now. I don't have the time for it. I was the spokesperson for Lynch Syndrome, LSI, for a while, and I help out and speak and stuff at many different groups
mm-hmm.
and for a lot of different organizations. And one that I strongly support used to be called the Children's Rare Disease Network, and now it's called Global Genes.
Okay.
And it's for children with rare illnesses right. that they can't get diagnosis for.
Right.
And who knew? Now
well,
I'm like the girl who
over,
can't get the diagnosis either, right?
You need to go over there and look at them, and then you come up with a plan. You discover it.
Well, it gives them hope. And what I've learned is that when I share my stories, as much as the entertainment industry can be hard on me for the challenges because they're not so accepting as the rest of the world can be. At least that's been my experience. But I also feel like it's worth taking that risk and sharing my story because of all the people that it does help. And little kids that are told they're never going to walk again when they meet me,
right.
there's a whole nother spark that goes off in their eyes. And when you meet a paralysis patient who's newly paralyzed and doesn't know how they're going to get their life on, I love meeting these people. Because
right.
I'm like, well, question reality.
Wow.
You know, because I never believe them.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't believe them when they tell me this is going to happen and that can. I always say I'm going to determine what happens, you know?
Exactly. Now, I know that a long time ago, I went to one of the actors' festivals, and I met this lady named Bonnie Gillespie,
mm-hmm.
And she was talking about how SAG, and I hope I get this right, forgive me, Bonnie, if I don't, because I do leave name letters off of names, but she told me that they were, at that time, it was at the inception of them putting together actors with disabilities program at SAG. Are you familiar with that? And is it really working? Are they really casting people? Because I look at Glee and I'm like, wait a minute, he's not really in a wheelchair. And there's a name for it where they cast people, and I cannot remember what it is, but there's a term that is used that where they replace actors who are supposed to have that disability, but they don't have it, and I don't remember what it is. But how is that coming along, the actors with disability at SAG?
Well, I'm going into my 23rd year in this industry, and to be honest with you, we're just now starting to see the progress. But for a lot of years, not enough was being done. Lip service and people saying, oh, yeah, we love you. It's all good. Yeah. And then slam doors and never let you in. And my buddy Danny Murphy just passed away, and he and I would advocate together years ago. I met him like 18 years ago or something when I first came to L.A., and we started going and talking to the CSA and to different places. And, you know, their response would often be, you know, well, people with disabilities aren't talented or they're not trained or whatever. And I'm like, first of all, I don't even like the word disability, because everyone I know that has any form of physical difference, they're some of the most spirited, highly active, accomplished people that I know. I just did a shoot this morning. I still have zombie paint on me with this lovely actress, Katie Sullivan. You know, call her disabled, she's the second fastest woman in the world on prosthetic legs.
Wow.
And she's an actress and a filmmaker, and she's writing, and her husband is a quadriplegic who's also acting. And these people are not disabled. They're different. They're differently abled.
And why
I'm not
writers,
disabled. I hike mountains with my brace on, so it amazes me that anybody calls me disabled.
Well, I think that there should be someone that encourages writers to write more parts for disabled people.
We are doing that, and we have been doing that, and we need them to write them, yes. But just include them. Just
right.
Like when you go into a store, we don't stop and say, oh no, why are you different? Stop. Everyone stop in the store. Let's find out why this person has a cane.
Right.
Okay, are we good?
Right.
No. You just go in the store and you do your thing. And right. That's what needs to happen in our movies. They need to more represent reality.
Yeah.
And that would be a gift to all of humanity.
Right.
Because this entertainment industry for many years, forgive me, all you people out there that aren't going to like this, but we have put undue pressure on all of society and made them all imagine that everyone in Hollywood is perfect.
Right.
And we're not. And I don't know a single person in this town who is perfect.
Right.
And if they look perfect physically, watch out.
Yeah.
Because those are usually the most broken people on the inside, and not broken in a way that they can use it.
Right.
You know, broken in a way that stops them. And that's why you see all the crazy tabloids of drugs and craziness, because they're so broken on the inside. You know, and it's like there, you don't get away in life without something wrong with you.
Exactly.
You just don't get away with it. And something wrong, something different. Who cares? We're all different. This entire town was built on groups of people who were formerly discriminated against.
Right.
So those people should not then be discriminating against anyone else.
Exactly.
Anyone.
Exactly.
If someone's got the skills, they should be allowed to go in a door and audition just like anybody else.
That's true.
If they've got the skills, can they do the job? Yes.
Right.
Am I going to go audition for a role where I'm running down the beach in bare feet? No, because it's going to hurt and I'm not going to do
it. Exactly.
But there are very few roles that I believe I couldn't do.
Right.
Very, very few.
Right. I mean, even writers, if you're listening, which I know you are because I get emails, but even if it's to write a part for a woman in a wheelchair who's a receptionist, okay, she's already got her own damn chair. It's not like you have to even fork out money for a chair. You could write her a role for being a receptionist.
A lawyer, a judge.
You know,
there's
someone.
So many things.
There's,
yeah, there's so many roles. I used to say that for my buddy Murphy because he was a quadriplegic. He was in a lot of the Farrelly Brother movies, but he'd get like a few auditions a year. He went away from this town heartbroken after 20 years of fighting, and I just don't want to see that happen anymore.
Right.
Because we've got, I'm not saying, I think it's wrong to give someone a part they haven't earned or
right.
that they don't have the skill set for, and I don't care what their physicality is.
Right.
May the best man win.
Right.
But how do you know if you have the best man if you're not letting everyone who's capable in that door?
Right.
And we have a lot of trained, capable, working actors who just happen to have physical differences.
Right.
And for the most part, head and shoulders, face, hello, this is the film industry.
Yeah.
If you don't want to see it, be creative and shoot around it.
Yeah.
Or if you want to see it, include it and
right.
welcome humanity, because
right.
people love it.
Yeah.
And the reason that we know people love it is because look at the list of shows that hire me.
Yeah.
They are the most popular shows on television.
That's right.
They're winning all the awards, and they're like the ones that have most embraced my brace. I have a limp.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Nobody cares. You can't see it. So it's only the fear-based people who really care.
Yeah.
The creative people. the decision makers in this industry, when they get their hands on it, they love it.
Yeah,
they love it. They call and say, can we write it in? Can we show it? Can we do this? And I'm like, I've got all the courage in the world.
But
show it. Do whatever you want with it.
They don't even get a chance to meet the people.
Yeah,
because the
gatekeepers are keeping you out.
Exactly.
And fortunately, we do have some really wonderful, amazing, open-minded people who are the gatekeepers who are opening that up. Thank God for them. And people like Wendy O'Brien, who's doing Sons of Anarchy and a ton of shows, who's so welcoming and so makes actors feel so safe in her environment. And she doesn't discriminate against you. She'll bring you in for any kind of role as long as you can do that role. And that's what we need more of.
Right.
And I believe the most skilled in our industry, the people who've been around the longest, the ones who know what lights up a screen and what works, they are more open-minded. They are. Because it's only fear that keeps people shut out. It's only fear. And when you're really accomplished in this business, you're not really a fear-based person or you wouldn't have gotten where you are. There's very few people who've made it very far with a ton of fear in this business.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, they're out there, but we're changing things. We're seeing.
Yeah.
Especially because of these cable shows.
Yes.
These people, right. Like, you know, I'm always grateful to the people that produced Hung, the TV show Hung, because they found out about the brace after after they hired me. I'm very skilled at hiding this little leg brace. And I can take it off, too. It's just that then we're dealing with pain, and it depends on how much running around you want me to do. But I do hide it a lot because I've had to. Because I've found that when people find out about it, then doors shut. Well, so I've hid it a lot and gotten in on shows, and then the creators find out, and then they love it, and then they write more.
Right.
And Dimitri and Colette from Hung were the co-creators of the show, and they just embraced it. They're like, can we show that? Put you in the brace, miniskirt? And I'm like, sure. Why not?
Wow.
And even Kurt Sutter from Sons of Anarchy, when they found out about it, they were like, hey, can we write that in? And so I'm always like, yeah, because I think the more we show the truth of people, you know, nobody really, if you took a poll across middle America, nobody really wants to see a bunch of flawless, perfect people in their perfect lives. Nobody really wants to see that. Then they want you dead. They want to root you down. And but when they see somebody who's, you know, going after their dreams or doing, lighting up roles, and they're showing their flaws and their reality and their scars and their wrinkles, that draws people in.
Right.
It makes
people, they're like,
people,
hey, they're famous and they look like me.
Yeah, it makes people feel like we're all the same, and we are.
We are.
We are.
All right, so start writing in parts. Oh, I got to tell you, after the show, about how I was cast in this one show. It's actually still on, so I won't mention the name. It's very, 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 very popular. And I got to the set. Remember, Albert? Mm-hmm. I got to the set. They turned me away. Yes, they did. And they said, oh, we didn't know that you blah, 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 which I'll tell you afterwards. And they turned me away. And I was so excited to do the show because I was going to be starring opposite a very huge A-list, as they like to say, celebrity. And I was very polite about it. There's no reason to be causing a scene. I'm not like that. But I thought, oh, my gosh. And they said, well, obviously the casting person did not cast the role properly. And I thought,
Like, why should that matter? That's the thing, you know. Now, you know, in the last few years, I'm noticing we've got a lot of brilliant young filmmakers coming up, and they are more open-minded.
Yes.
They are. They are creative. And they, you know, I just did a film in Europe.
Was that Switzerland and the Czech Republic? Yep. Aurora.
Aurora. With this amazing young director named Robert Kuba. You know, I did the first film I did with him. I'm like running from aliens and running all over the place, and he just loved it. He didn't care at all how I move. It made it look more dramatic, he said. And, you know, the next thing, he wrote in just a lovely role with a really nice arc, utilizing, you know, who I am. And it just never was an issue with him. And recently I just worked on Wild Oats with Jessica Lange and Shirley MacLaine, and Andy Tennant was the director. And I walked on set and I was like, no one knows. Cool. You know, let's see what happens this time. And a lot of times people don't know and they don't care or they don't notice because it's not that noticeable. It only is if you're, you know, perfectionist or weird or something. But, you know, I walked on set and then they wanted me running in and out of this bank. And I just thought, well, maybe I should give him a little heads up. And I just walked over and I just whispered. I smiled and I was like, so you know that I have a little slight limp. And he was like, yeah, I don't mind that at all. Okay, yeah. Let's go. He didn't care at all. Oh, it's like he already knew. And I was like, see, now this is when you're getting to the really creative people. They don't care at all. They're like, bring it.
That's
you know?
Right. I got cast on Glee.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And so I go in and, of course, I met Eric Stoltz. I did a film with David Schwimmer back in 2001 called Humanoid. And I met Eric Stoltz. Did I meet? Yeah, I met Eric Stoltz. Oh, and Steve Perry from Journey. Oh, my God. It was like a whole adventure for me. I was like in heaven at the after party. And I met him and we briefly talked because he was doing Anaconda. He had done Anaconda at the time. I think that's what we talked about. So flash forward, I go traipsing in to the set and you could tell. But because I, you know, I have a torn meniscus and I have a fractured kneecap and I'm in a power chair now. And of course, I wasn't in when I met him. But I go rolling in there. I'm rolling over all the cords. And you know how they got everything taped out. I'm rolling. It's like pop, pop, pop. All of these. And so Eric turns around like, what is that noise? And there I am. I'm like, hi, Eric. And so you could tell he wasn't expecting me to be showing up in my little power chair, right? But he totally rolled with it. He's like, oh. Oh, hey, Priscilla, I know you, don't I? I'm like, well, yeah, I met you, you know, with David Schwimmer. And so we talked about the party and Steve Perry and some stuff. And then he said, okay, well, we don't need to get you a chair. Go on in there. And so I did a scene with Jane Lynch, who is my, I mean, oh my God, she's my idol. I tend to like character actors better than the, you know, the leading lady actors. But yeah, I had a scene with Jane Lynch and she was so apologetic. She said, I'm going to be saying some really nasty stuff about you. Is that okay? I'm like, absolutely. I love it. But Eric had no problem with it. Eric Stoltz was so cool and he just let me do it. He did. Whereas the other they turned me away.
Oh, wow. You know, I've never auditioned for Glee, but one of the...
They were so nice on that show. Oh, God. They treated me so... Oh, like I was a little
celebrity.
That's
lovely. One of the creators on that show, Brad Falchuk, hired me for Nip Tuck. And this was one of those things where no one knew anything. So as far as I knew, that he didn't know I had a brace or anything. It just shouldn't matter, and it doesn't, but... They pulled me out of the makeup trailer while I still had curlers in my hair in a robe to go to set to run a rehearsal. So I'm like in a robe, curlers, and I had my brace on showing because they pulled me out before we were dressed and ready to go. And so I walk on set and this gorgeous man walks up to me and I'm thinking he must be one of the stars of the show. This is how much I pay attention.
Right.
And and he introduces himself and then we run through the little rehearsal and then he pulls me aside and he says, now do you walk with more of a limp with the brace or without the brace? And I said, probably walk a little worse without the brace. I was like, but don't worry, I can hide it. And he was like, no,
I want it.
And I'm looking at him like, who are you? Because he's the director. And usually in TV, directors don't have so much power. So I was like, you want it? And he's like, yeah, I think it's awesome. It's so creative and different. And we like different. And so if we could, can we take it off and have you walk into the room? And I was like, if you want it, sure.
Right.
And I walked away like a little stunned. And I was like, who is this guy? So then I, you know, once I got off set, I had to run and look him up. And I was like, oh, he's one of the writers. He's one of the creators of these things. He can do whatever he wants.
Wow.
And he liked it.
And he loved it. He's a fan.
So he's another one that I have on my favorite list. And I wonder if he even knows how happy that made me that day.
You're on the list.
He's on the good list.
Now, we got so much recent projects. I'm going to just run through them. Gypsy. TV series announced, and last call at Murray's with the lovely Linda Palmer
Calderoni. I'm about to see them tonight. Michael Wirth, who is in Our Father, is going to play my husband again in last call at Murray's.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I'm actually the lead in that movie.
Oh yeah?
And so I'm excited. We're going to start some of the shooting in December, and then in January we're going to finish up.
They are lovely people to work
with.
You Are Here is in pre-production. Wild Oats is in post-production.
Yes.
Aurora is in post-production. Nobody's Perfect, which is a short, is in post-production. Enchanting the Mortals.
That was a Michael Wirth directed film.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, that's in post-production. And I don't know how. Here's another word. Ecatone or ectone?
That was a short.
It was a project.
I was helping students. I help a lot of students with their projects.
I've never heard that name, but I like that. That should be a nightclub.
You know what? I didn't even know the title when I did that one. I think it's Ecotone, but
cute tone.
That I
but
like
these
to
are all
help
of
students.
The projects yeah. that you yeah. are that are either you worked on recently mm-hmm. or coming out. So mm-hmm. look for those.
Aurora should be coming out like in the next month or so, and that's a big sci-fi movie. And this
Who's
is
in
this
that?
Kid that. That I told you about, Robert Kuba, and I'm not kidding. He's a young one. And when you see his work, you'll just be blown away because this kid started making movies when he was 11.
Wow.
And two young European stars, kids, coming up in it. And Carmen Argenziano plays the bad guy.
Oh.
We talked him into that.
Ah.
I have a nice sweet role, but mostly the stars are the robots and the drones and the, you know, all the scary
stuff.
Now,
where will we be able to see that?
I think it's going to go everywhere. It's, you know, it'll open in Europe, it'll open in Switzerland, and then it'll go.
Because
they've already got like 5.5 million hits on the trailer.
Oh.
And the trailer's not even from our footage from the film. It's a pre-trailer they did to help raise money for the film.
Wow.
So, I can't imagine what this kid's going to pull off next. He's amazing.
Well, the young ones are. Now, let's get in because I can't believe it, but we only got 10 minutes left and people are going to be crazy
sending
me emails. I know. These interviews, people think, oh my God, what am I going to talk about for 50 minutes? And they go so fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about career advice. Now, we're so many. Okay. What shocking surprises have you had in your career so far? Anything you weren't expecting and it was just shocking?
Good or bad? Yeah.
Either.
Shocking? Yeah. I don't really want to get into bad experiences.
Good.
But
let's
I did
do
have
ones.
One rough one that was shocking, but we'll pass on that one. Shocking good.
Like you got cast for...
Well, shocking good was like hung because I got hired for one guest star, one little thing, and then they brought us back and reshot it and gave me more lines, and then next thing I knew I had a recurring arc on the show.
Ooh.
And nice guest stars, and if the show would have continued on, it would have kept going. And that was a shocking nice surprise.
That was
and,
a good one.
And even just recently this one, to work with Jessica Lange and Shirley MacLaine. Jessica Lange was, you know, one of my I don't really have like idols, but that was one woman that I was like, wow, that I really looked up to for so many reasons. Her work is so incredible.
Yeah.
And it just always has. I think I own almost every movie she's ever done.
Is she on
American Horror Story?
Is she on this season? Because I heard she was
she's
leaving.
Still,
is
she's
she doing
still there.
This one? Okay.
As far as I know, she's still
there. Oh,
and
my God. She's so intense. Oh, I can't keep my eyes off her. She's so captivating.
I could not wait to work with her because I was like, I wonder if she even knows how much she inspired my work. But not only that, she looks so much like when she was about 40 and when my mom was about 40. If you put those two side by side, the difference
twins.
You would see was eye color.
Ooh,
you know,
wow.
Like that's it. I mean, they looked so much alike.
Yeah, she's an attractive woman. I can't wait for that. Now, at this point in your career, what do you find to be your greatest challenge?
Unfortunately, it's still the same challenge that it's always been. It's not me or my work. The challenge is opening up minds of the gatekeepers to let them know that they don't have to shut a door because someone has a limp. Right. Even Peter Farrelly just said that the other day at this thing I was at with, and I was sitting at a table with him, but when he got up to speak, he literally said, you know, there's no reason why a mom can't have a limp.
Right.
Or any character, like, or you know, like, yeah. We just need to open that up. So that's always been the biggest challenge of my career since I left New York.
Right.
In LA, that's been the biggest challenge, is just getting other people to just get out of my way.
Right. Honestly. Get out of Eileen's way. Now, what do you feel are three characteristic traits needed to reach your goal as a continuous working actor?
If you want to be a continuous working actor in this industry, you absolutely have to work and train and be better than everyone else. One, you have to be damn good at what you do, because the competition now is fierce.
Right.
Every pretty person on the planet has moved here, so do not think that that is going to help you. You've got to be persistent in your efforts. You've got to train your entire career. The people at the Actors Studio are training, even if they've been at it for 50 years.
Yeah.
They're still training. They're always expanding. And you also have to be resilient. You have got to take the kicks and get up and keep going. You just have to keep going and create your own stuff.
Now, do you feel that an actor has to move to LA or New York to have any possible chance of working professionally?
I actually think that's a mistake now. Okay. I think it's a mistake to move to LA.
Okay.
You will move to LA with no credits, and you will sit at the bottom of the pool. And everyone, since the day they're born out here, they have famous parents. They have connections in the industry. They're working since they're 2 days old.
Yeah.
And they've got credits.
They're working in
if
the
they're
womb.
They're 5 years old. They've got a list of credits bigger than your arm. And so to come out here with no credits when they've got production going on all over the country and all over the world, I think people should stay where they are, make their break where they are, because it's far easier to become a big fish in a small pond and then do great work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this industry calls you out here, come.
Right.
That's what I
believe. Yeah, for sure. Now, a lot of people who come out here, we talked about this a little bit earlier, a lot of people who come out here who don't have any training because they just know and they feel and they just think, oh my God, I'm a natural actor. And they think that they only need a shot to get in front of the right people. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there are a few gems, as we've heard, mm-hmm. that are natural actors and have just been cast and they hit the ground running. That's very rare.
They're very, very rare.
And
stories.
Very, very rare. And when this doesn't happen, of course, they become devastated. Mm-hmm. And they either acclimate and start taking the classes, as you said, to get the skills that they want to move forward, or they look for behind the scene jobs, or they do other things. So what are your thoughts on people who take those routes towards an acting career? Like, they think, oh my God, I'm a natural. I don't need any classes. I don't need
any. Well, I think those people have a nice surprise coming in LA, because most people fail out of our industry in under 2 years. Most people fail out in under two years. If you don't have the stamina and the courage and the endurance to make it 10 to 20 years now, good luck to you, because it does take at least 10 years, if not more, for the average working actor to accidentally find that lucky break.
Right.
And you've still got to be trained and skilled and ready. And another thing is, people come out here without a clue what direction to turn in. One piece of advice that I know a lot of people in this town will not be happy to hear, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I think it's honest.
Yeah.
Learn from working actors. Do not learn your acting skill from someone who failed as an actor.
Yes.
Because they learned how to fail, and then they became a teacher. And we have too much of that here. And these are people who are damaging the actors, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't even understand the damage they're doing. And so, you know, my greatest teachers are very, very accomplished actors. Very accomplished, award-winning, accomplished actors with incredible resumes. And they, because they have been in the trenches and they have learned how to do this, that's why they are so good at pinpointing mm-hmm. what you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alan Miller pinpointed something so incredible that opened up such a range of work for me. Barbara Bain did the same thing, and both of them did that within days of knowing me.
Right.
It didn't take forever. It was like they knew what I needed to expand on
mm-hmm.
and what I needed to sink in. Alan Miller showed me how to put my physical pain into my work.
Right.
It expanded things to a degree that in a dramatic role, I can make half the room cry.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm willing to put my heart and soul and mm-hmm. everything I've gone through into these roles.
Right.
And Barbara Bain reminded me how to bring in the joy. So work with skilled professionals.
But if they're skilled professionals, I've heard this before, this debate. If they're skilled professional and they have all these credits, why would they want to go to teaching actors?
They teach because they want to.
Okay.
They teach because they love to and they have something to pass on. They also teach for a lot lower rates because they don't need to make a living teaching.
Good point.
You know, they're more affordable. However, they're harder on you. They expect you to show up. They require a commitment of time because they know that you don't become an overnight success as an actor. You've got to train and train and train and train and work and work. And it's like tuning your piano.
Yeah.
You've got to keep everything in shape.
A lot of people, I try to emphasize this so much. I've heard this, a lot of actors, they say, I just want to focus on my craft, my art. I don't want to have to worry about the business side.
Oh,
please express how important it is. It's called show business.
Yeah. You also need to be able to
network,
put your drama
market
on the stage and on the film. And then when it comes to the business side, you need to remove all that emotion and deal with it like a business, because this is a business first. And I also think it's wise to take your day jobs within the industry. You know, in all my years of this business, when I did other jobs, it was in casting, running casting departments, casting films, television, whatever. In addition, producing, I get paid to write. Keep your work in the industry, because I also worked with a handful of celebrities, and that was in itself an enormous enlightening experience, because I've learned how to handle things before. I know now how to handle what I'm now walking into
mm-hmm.
because I've learned from these amazing people I worked for and how they handled the onslaught of requests and people coming at you from all directions and how they gracefully handled things. And that was a great education too. And in addition, you're meeting people all throughout, as long as you're staying in the business to do your work.
And how do you know? I mean, every actor that comes out here thinks that they are ready for an agent. How realistically, when do you know you're ready to seek representation?
You know what? They all think that that's the key to their career. And the truth is, it is not.
Mm-mm.
You've got, if you're going to come out here and you're going to build your credits here, I strongly advise building them elsewhere and then coming here. But you come in and you start working with all the young filmmakers and you work for free and you help on projects and you just do that. You show up at the film schools and you meet these people and you work on their films, and that's how you get going. And then you meet more filmmakers and then you do their films. And once you've got something to talk about,
mm-hmm.
then you've got something to offer an agent who can now pitch you.
Right.
But
because
nobody wants to be pitching the guy that's, well,
exactly.
They haven't done anything.
Yeah.
They just, but she's pretty. Nobody
yeah.
cares.
And an agent these days, it's not like back in the
no,
day. They
it's
don't,
not.
You, if you think you're going to get an agent and sit home
yeah.
and they're going to do all the work,
yeah.
you are sadly mistaken.
No, you've still got to do a
you
lot gotta of work.
You got to work. They only yeah. want people who are out there working yeah. and booking things because
yeah.
they get a percentage of it. Even if they don't do it, they're going to get a percentage of it. So you
yeah.
have to. You have to work
yeah,
and get your
hard.
Own projects.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm very lucky now because I have an amazing agent who fights for me. And I've been with him for so many years now. It's J.D. Sobel. And he's a young, passionate, hardworking, caring man who fights for me. And I have walked into casting offices that had shut doors prior because of finding out that I had a limp, and they were all worried about it ridiculously. But anyway, cut to he bugged him and bugged him and bugged him and bugged him and bugged him until finally I'm in and I'm booking their shows. And then they tell me, your agent fights so hard for you.
Wow.
And I know he does.
That's an agent.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody that believes in you. You got to yeah. build your team with people who believe in you.
Yep.
Well, we are out of time, and I want to thank the gorgeous, beautiful Eileen Gruba.
Thank
I got
you.
It right.
Thank you
for coming on the show. Anything exciting that you want to leave, any message that you want to leave? Models of Diversity, we didn't get to talk about, but I love that website.
They're so doing much. Big things. You know, the UK usually does lead what we do, and they are trying to get models with all kinds of physical differences included in the modeling world. And you know, we need that all over because everybody buys clothes, everybody buys makeup, everybody buys everything. So everybody should be included.
I love
and that's
that they
what
had,
they're fighting for.
They had little people.
Yeah,
they had, you know, obese people, fluffy, I like to call myself. They had all different types of people. It was wonderful. So
it
check
is.
That out, modelsofdiversity.org. And we're going to look for you in
Thank
Aurora
you.
Coming
yes.
out.
Aurora. Oh, in a TV show called Benched. A lovely woman named Michaela Watson did this TV show called Benched, and it's coming out. I think it starts this next week, and I'm in one episode of it, but it's on the USA Network.
USA Network,
yeah.
Benched. Well, I'm going to watch it. Thank you so much, Eileen, for coming on the
You're
show.
Welcome.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you with another wonderful guest next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Thank you.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.